So a few weeks ago, I was trying to figure out what to do for sermons because we were just getting done with one of our series and on Ecclesiastes and everything. Pat had said, well, why don't you do prayer? And that just struck me. So I began looking back through all of my previous sermons that I had done on prayer. And I now have a nice little directory where I put all of those in, under prayer in there. And these were some of my earlier sermons back in 2012 and so on like that. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed at how much better I was then than I am now. But it's starting to fire me up. So this is one from 2012. And the name of it is Willing Prayer, and the scripture is 2 Corinthians 12, 6 to 10. For if I want to boast, I will not be a fool, because I will be telling the truth. But I will spare you so that no one can credit me with something beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, especially because of the extraordinary revelations. Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I plead with the Lord three times to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, catastrophes, persecutions, and in pressures because of Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to learn from it, and help me to explain it just the way you want it done. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Paul is writing to the Corinthians to defend himself. He tells them about visions he has seen and miracles he has done, but he has a problem. You see, these things that he was talking about came before in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. But the problem is that the Lord does not want him to exalt himself. So he was given what he calls a thorn in the flesh. We think it possibly was vision problems, maybe other kinds of things. It's not really important what it was. It was enough that it was irritating him, and he is praying for relief, but he doesn't get it. He prays three times, Lord, please take this away. This is really bad, and I don't like it. Still gets no help. Because God is teaching him to rely on God. Sometimes we ask for things, and we don't get it. There may be a problem, either in how we're asking or in what we're asking. It may be a wish that doesn't comport with what God wants for us. We need to be willing to understand that God is always right. I had this discussion with our upstairs neighbor. She was very mad at God that her brother died. And finally, the Lord just told me, and once again, this is something that's new to me, starting with being pastor here. He said, tell her that I'm always right. That if it was what I wanted, it's by definition, it's right. Oh, she did not want to hear that. She was mad at God. Now, let me be really clear. There's nothing wrong with being mad at God. He understands, and he can take it. We used to, when way back in the early 70s, we were in California, and we would watch Oral Roberts Today on Sunday mornings. Well, one Sunday morning, there's nobody but Oral and his wife, and his daughter and his son-in-law had gone down in a plane crash. And he said, you know, I got up, I was shaving, I'm getting ready to go, and I'm doing what you're supposed to do, I thought. I'm saying, oh, Lord, your will is always perfect. Oh, Lord, you know, and I accept exactly what you do. And I, you know, and he said, and then I realized that I am lying to God. So he said, no, God, the truth, and you know it, is I'm bad enough to spit. I'm very mad at you right now, and the only way I'm not going to be mad at you is if you comfort me and you give me the ability to go through this. I don't have the ability. This is not in me. And he said he felt the presence of God so powerfully that it was amazing. Because God didn't want him to lie to him. He wanted him to tell the truth and ask for help. Paul kept asking God, take this away, take this away. This is what I want. That's the truth. And God kept saying, no, it's for your own good. It's to help you. And Paul accepted that. He accepted God's message to him. He couldn't accept what was going on with him, but he could accept it when God gave him the ability to, because he knew what it was about. God does not mind our asking for anything. I've said this before. I used to ride down the road going to work in Redmond, and I would put up my hands. Usually you say hi to the motorcyclists going the other way, and I, you know, but I would say in my mind, Lord, bless that guy in getting wherever he's going safely. And somebody once asked me, well, now, wait a minute. What if God didn't want him to get there safely? What if God, really, his purpose was to kill this guy? That's up to God. That's not my problem. God calls on me to pray good upon this guy, and then God can decide what he thinks is best. Okay? That's just the way it works. We pray our heart and what we're thinking. We ask for things. Ask for things that you want. Okay? And if he says, no, that's not good for you, then you have to accept that. He doesn't mind your asking. If he wants you to stop, he'll tell you, stop praying for that. I don't want you to have it. You'll be very clear about this. We just need the attitude of not my will, but your will. I mean, we learned that from Jesus sitting there in the garden going, I don't want to be killed tomorrow very painfully. I understand that. I have been under fire from communist guerrillas in the Philippines. And I realized I was not afraid to die. I was afraid I wouldn't die and it would hurt really bad. I don't do pain well. But sometimes we just need to do what God tells us to do. And now I have a very bad example of that. One day I was going down 520 from Redmond headed to 405. And this guy goes to turn off to the exit off of 520 to go on 405. But he was way too hot. And he realized this too late. So the way that exit works is 405 is coming down this way. And so there's a wall. And if you don't make that turn, you're going to hit that wall. So what they tell you is, don't give up. Just keep pushing. See, in a motorcycle, you push on the side that you want to go that way because motorcycles don't steer, they roll. And you keep pushing and you keep pushing until you either make the turn or you go down. If you get far enough over and you go down, it's still better than hitting that wall. But he did, and I could see sparks flying in all directions because he was literally burying his foot peg into the asphalt. But you know what? He made the turn. And then he got off the side, and I think he was cleaning his pants when I went by him. But at any rate, the idea is he knew what to do. He had been given the instructions, and he followed it, and it worked. If we follow God's instructions, even if we think it's not going to work, if we follow them, if God said this is what you do, that's what you do. God may have other considerations for you. He knows all the ramifications of what's going on. There used to be a thing that was called Joan of Arcadia. And it was this little girl, and God kept showing up in different personalities and would talk to her and tell her things. And at one point, he said to her, "You know what? Have you ever thought of how many people there are on earth right now? And yet, I have all those threads, and I'm in control of them." You ever tried to play the little game where you're trying to untangle the threads or something like that? What if there were 6 billion threads that you got to untangle? Oh, my badness. He knows all the ramifications of everything. He knows what's going to happen from every different thing. He knows if you don't do what he said, what's going to happen. And he knows how he's going to fix it. God may be doing things for your own good. It may not be good for you. It may be for the good of somebody else. One thing that I read somewhere at some point. What if you're sitting here and you're about to have the Sunday, your church Sunday picnic, and you're having this picnic, and of course you want good weather. But somewhere out there, there's a farmer who wants it to rain something awful because his crops need the water. Now, we might get upset if it rained on our picnic. The farmer thinks it's wonderful. And if it didn't rain on our picnic, he might not get rain for his crops, and he'd be very upset. But the whole point is, God's the one making that decision. And he knows what's best. So what does this mean to us? Well, first of all, ask for whatever you desire. If you honestly desire something, go ahead and ask for it. But let God decide if you get it. You see, he may be telling you, no, God always answers prayer. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait.
Sometimes he says nothing.
Sometimes he just doesn't say anything. He's letting it go right along, and it's going to come out. But you need to acknowledge that he is always right, that he always knows what's best. And if we leave things in his hands, it'll work out. But once again, like I said, there are times when we know what we're supposed to pray, we don't know if it's going to get there. On the, what was 13th, I guess it was, when Vicki had her surgery, we're all praying that everything will be wonderful. Mostly we're praying that we thought it was going to be cancer and it wouldn't be spreading anywhere. God says, oh, I can do better than that. It's benign. It can't spread. It's just a little tumor in there. We're going to get it out. Not really little, I guess, but anyway. We were praying for Roxana. Roxana had worse cancer than we even knew. But she also had a really, really good doctor who fixed it all. Now, we're hearing now that she may have had spreading and it may be coming back in other places. But, you know, we leave that up to God. We were supposed to pray for Roxana to be healed. And we got at least a partial answer. We were praying for Vicky to be healed, and we got our answer. But what if we didn't? What if it had been the other way around? It still was in God's hands. We may not like it. We may get very upset. But we have to be willing in our prayer to say, "Your will, not mine. Whatever you are going to do, do it." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We thank you that you love us and that you always want what's best for us. But we know that you also are using us to bring glory to yourself. And sometimes that's hard for us because the way we're used doesn't fall into our will. Help us to be willing to serve you and to accept your will at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys. Mm-hmm.